glow and smoky fire. Since the days of Commodus and Caracalla, the cruelty of the Roman princes had most commonly been the effect of their fear. But Justinian, who possessed some vigour of character, enjoyed the sufferings and braved the revenge of his subjects about 10 years, till the measure was full of his crimes and of their patience. In a dark dungeon, Leontius, a general of reputation, had groaned above 3 years with some of the noblest and most deserving of the patricians. He was suddenly drawn forth to assume the government of Greece, and this promotion of an injured man was a mark of the contempt rather than of the confidence of his prince. As he was followed to the port by the kind offices of his friends, Leontius observed with a sigh that he was a victim adorned for sacrifice, and that inevitable death would pursue his footsteps. They ventured to reply that glory and empire might be the recompense of a generous resolution, that every order of men abhorred the reign of a monster, and that the hands of 200,000 patriots expected only the voice of a leader. The night was chosen for their deliverance, and in the first effort of the conspirators, the prefect was slain and the prisons were forced open. The emissaries of Leontius proclaimed in every street, "Christians, to Saint Sophia," and the seasonable text of the patriarch, "This is the day of the Lord," was the prelude of an inflammatory sermon. From the church the people adjourned to the hippodrome. Justinian, in whose cause not a sword had been drawn, was dragged before these tumultuary judges, and their clamours demanded the instant death of the tyrant. But Leontius, who was already clothed with the purple, cast an eye of pity on the prostrate son of his own benefactor and of so many emperors. The life of Justinian was spared. The amputation of his nose, perhaps of his tongue, was imperfectly performed. The happy flexibility of the Greek language could impose the name of Rhinotnitus, and the mutilated tyrant was banished to Chersonae in Crete, Tartary, a lonely settlement where corn, wine, and oil were imported as foreign luxuries.
Justinian's banishment lasted but 10 years. Leontius himself was dethroned and mutilated by the rebel Apsimar, who assumed the name Tiberius. Hearing this, Justinian returned at the head of an army and entered Constantinople, emperor once more. He took swift and bloody vengeance against the usurpers.
Before their execution, Leontius and Apsimar were cast prostrate in chains beneath the throne of the emperor, and Justinian, planting a foot on each of their necks, contemplated above an hour the chariot race, while the inconstant people shouted in the words of the psalmist, "Thou shalt trample on the asp and basilisk, and on the lion and dragon shalt thou set thy foot." The universal defection which he had once experienced might provoke him to repeat the wish of Caligula that the Roman people had but one head. Yet I shall presume to observe that such a wish is unworthy of an ingenious tyrant, since his revenge and cruelty would have been extinguished by a single blow, instead of the slow variety of tortures which Justinian inflicted on the victims of his anger. His pleasures were inexhaustible. Neither private virtue nor public service could expiate the guilt of active or even passive obedience to an established government. And during the 6 years of his new reign, he considered the axe, the cord, and the rack as the only instruments of royalty. "All are guilty and all must perish," was the mandate of Justinian, and the bloody execution was entrusted to his favourite, Stephen, who was recommended by the epithet of the Savage. Yet even the savage Stephen imperfectly accomplished the intentions of his sovereign. The slowness of his attack allowed the greater part of the inhabitants to withdraw into the country, and the minister of vengeance contented himself with reducing the youth of both sexes to a state of servitude, with roasting alive 7 of the principal citizens, with drowning 20 in the sea, and with reserving 42 in chains to receive their doom from the mouth of the emperor. Destitute of friends, Justinian was deserted by his barbarian guards, and the stroke of the assassin was praised as an act of patriotism and Roman virtue. His son Tiberius had taken refuge in a church. His aged grandmother guarded the door, and the innocent youth, suspending round his neck the most